we got pushed around a little bit tonight, and whether that's a mindset or what it is, I don't know, but it's disappointing.
Well, everybody, it's time for another post-game overreaction, courtesy of Corn Nation. Greg Mahochko here with Evan, and you just heard straight from head coach Scott Frost's mouth, post-game press conference, very interesting use of the word mindset. And, you know, in this case, he's saying he doesn't know if it's a mindset. Obviously, the Huskers got pushed around by Minnesota. But the word mindset was used earlier in the week by Troy Walters when talking about, you know, some of the preparatory methods that PJ Fleck was instilling in Minnesota to get his team ready for the cold and the conditions, you know, the putting the hands in the ice water, the you know, ice water or buckets of ice water on the head or you know, spraying down the footballs with cold water, whatever they were doing. And Walters says, no, we're not doing anything like that. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. So the fact that Frost, maybe I'm reading too much into this, Evan, but the fact that Frost, you know, echoed that word a little bit was intriguing to me. But nonetheless, 34-7 Huskers on the downside of this one, and yeah, Frost said it right there in the post game quote. They got pushed around. And you know, we're not going to pull up the official stats or anything like that tonight, but I know at one point on the ground, Minnesota had outgained Nebraska like 300 yards to 150 yards rushing. Tell me a little bit about where you're at after that game.
You know, so last weekend we went out to Lincoln, at the bars there after that win over Northwestern. That was really fun. And me and my friends were going to go out to the bars in Omaha this weekend after this game. And by the middle of the second quarter, I already knew tonight I wasn't going to feel like drinking. And you know, when you don't even feel good enough to drink after a game, you know it's bad.
There was nothing to celebrate about this one. I encourage anybody who wants to relive the tragedy, so to speak, you know, in perspective, the sports athletic competition tragedy. We'll you know, try to, you know, put a little perspective in it. Go back to coronation.com, read the recap that Jill did. It's just depressing, and it devolved, you know, from a little bit of detail to, you know, Vedral pass incomplete or Vedral run, you know, comma, incomplete pass, comma, Mo Washington.
Penalty.
Yeah, penalty or, you know, sack or things like that. By the fourth quarter, I think it was all GIFs that Jill was using to describe the situation. So you know, the Colorado loss sucked because we've been, you know, hearing them talk for a year about, you know, that the rivalry, or, you know, if you consider it a rivalry or not. But that one, we, you know, we were up big. Then we had to kind of claw our way back, ended up losing it because we don't have a kicker. The Ohio State loss, I mean, it's what Ohio State's done to about every team this year. So, you know, that one I can almost forgive, but nobody expected us to go into Minnesota and shit the bed and in such epic fashion as they did. Now, granted, no Adrian Martinez, and I think early in the second quarter we lost Wandale Robinson, although I did see Pops Robinson say that he's not on crutches, so that is a good sign. But you had Noah Vedral starting, and you had an ineffective offensive line. You had an inability on defense to set the edge and contain their running game. And the times that you loaded up the box and were able to make a stop on their rushing attack, Morgan ended up beating you more often than not with the arm. So it was, you know, tough sledding on a crappy night in Minnesota.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. like you said, nobody expected us to get whooped in the fashion that we did. I know a lot of people did expect us to lose the game. But I mean, I would have thought that it would have been at least a one possession game. I thought we were going to win.
Me did. I did too. That was kind of the consensus, you know, from the Five Heart Podcast guys, is that we'd win by, you know, a score to two scores, you know, like a 35 to 21 type of, you know, point differential.
Yeah. I mean, my score prediction was 22 to 21. And that was because I figured we'd have to go for two after every touchdown after missing a PAT early on in the game.
And I think for me, another reason why I hate, I mean, I tweeted this out from at the number Five Heart Podcast account just, I guess, after, or maybe perhaps just before the game kicked off, when Baylor and Texas Tech were running in overtime. And I said, well, that's another reason to hate, you know, or I think I said it, I put it as another, you know, check mark in the pros column for 11 a.m. kickoffs, because you don't have to wait for that previous game to finish. But I think for me, like, I've been awake. Now, I'm not saying I had like a hard day. You know, I didn't leave the house. I barely went outside today. But I've been awake since about 6 o'clock this morning, which is, you know, sleeping in for me because of my job. But, you know, chasing around a three-year-old and you know, it's every minute of the day builds that anticipation for Nebraska football. And so when it's 11 o'clock, you know, kickoff, there's a lot less anticipation because I've been awake a lot less. 6:30 game or primetime game, and we've had a lot of those this season. And I don't know, Nebraska doesn't seem to, I guess, answer the bell very well in primetime. I don't know if it's the big audience or what. I think, and they probably don't even think about it. I would hope that they don't, you know, like, oh man, we're going to be nationwide TV. You know, but think about it. In 2019, even on the Big Ten Network, there's a good chance that's, you know, being picked up coast to coast. You know, they're Husker fans all over, you know, and they're all watching the game or you know, streaming or something like that. So the audience really shouldn't change. But I think it throws the team out of their rhythm. And in doing so, it messes first world problem. It messes up my day when you know, I that anticipation builds, and then you see Minnesota go out and march down the field, I think in like five plays, 70-something yards that first drive, and they're just running the ball, gashing the defense, you know, for big play after big play. And they just kept going. They just kept doing it all night long. And then the game's over and you feel empty and a little hollow inside.
Oh, yeah, I felt really hollow after that. I mean, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why they even scheduled this game for 6:30 in the first place. I mean, granted, Minnesota is 5-0, but you would have thought that there could have been another game, because it's not like the Big Ten Network was televising our game.
Right.
That was FS1. So you would have thought that there could have been another game on that today that could have sufficed for the 6:30 kickoff.
Well, let's see some of the. Of course, Notre Dame, USC was prime time. You had Iowa, Penn State prime time. I mean, I guess when was the last time? And you might not know this. I certainly don't know this. But and if anybody knows this, and just wants to, you know, tweet at Coronation or at the number Five Heart Podcast or something like that. But maybe like the last Red River Shootout. You know, Oklahoma, Texas, when the last time that was played in prime time, or is that always designated for, you know, an afternoon or early game? You know, there were,
I think it's always been 11 o'clock. The last time that Texas and Oklahoma played at night for a 7 o'clock game would have been the Big 12 championship last year. But I honestly have no idea when the last time they played the designated Red River rivalry at night. It's always been at 11 o'clock.
All right. So that, you know, but there would have been better matchups, better game. And I guess to Fox's credit, they probably expected Nebraska to be a little bit more competitive. You know, I don't know exactly when they set the time for this particular week's game. You know, I know it's usually a couple weeks out, if not longer, but they're probably looking to say, oh, well, you know, let's say it was before Ohio State. So you're 3-1.
It was right after.
Oh, it was right after. Okay. So you're 3-2. And they're like, okay, well, Nebraska's, you know, looking likely to win in Northwestern, or maybe Fox doesn't care. Maybe they just see the brand of Nebraska and the upstart Michigan, or not Michigan, Minnesota. And they're just, you know, like, well, hell, let's throw that one on primetime. I don't know. I don't know how they pick them. I don't like it. And I hope that we never see another primetime game ever again until like the Big Ten Championship 2020.
Well, we're not getting there this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, we could run the table, right?
No. We will not beat Wisconsin and Fabley. With how Iowa's played the last 2 weeks, we're probably not going to beat them.
We'll fine be that way.
I mean,
no, I know. You're being realistic and I'm being sarcastic. It's fine.
I know you are. I know you're not being realistic.
And here's the thing, if that's what, you know, Wisconsin beat Michigan State, shut them out 38-0, and that was with a calm, quiet night or day from Jonathan Taylor, who had, I think, 26 carries for 80-something yards and 2 touchdowns. So Nebraska clearly couldn't stop the run against Minnesota. Jonathan Taylor's going to, you know, hand him
break the rushing record.
Well, he's going to do what Melvin Gordon did. He's going to do what Monte Ball did. He's going to get himself a trip to New York on the back of Nebraska's defense.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I hate to say that because we're a month away from that, but it's, you know, the way this run defense, and I'll say this, I think the pass defense performed pretty admirably tonight. There were a few, you know, miscues or you know, misses, but they also, Minnesota also didn't have to throw the ball a lot, you know, and that's, I don't know, it's tough.
I agree. And, you know, I went into the game, I went into this weekend hearing how Minnesota struggled to run the ball for the first 4 weeks of the year. And then last week they beat Illinois and they ran the ball a lot. They got a ton of yards on the ground. And I was thinking, okay, well, that's Illinois. We shouldn't have a problem stopping the run, right? Like, we did good last week. I mean, I know Northwestern's inept on offense, but, I mean, we should still be able to hold them under 150 yards rushing. And I figured, you know, they're going to have to beat us through the air because, you know, Minnesota's strength on offense, from what I was hearing, were their receivers. And, you know, if that would have been the case, I think this would have been a completely different ballgame. But for whatever reason, our guys can't seem to tackle and set the edge when the opponent runs the ball.
And
I mean, they get 6 yards.
To the defense's credit, they did not let any Minnesota running back get to 150 yards. They did, however, let 3 Minnesota players get over 100 yards rushing. But yeah, it's exactly what you said. It was just I don't know if ineptitude is the right word. I'm looking forward to this upcoming Five Heart podcast. You know, almost a week away now is, you know, when that'll drop. But, you know, hearing Haas's thoughts about it after he has a chance to watch it when he's a little less distracted. Go Haas. Go Haas, go. And John, you know, who witnessed it, you know, there in person and getting pictures of the game, you know, doing photography down there on the sideline. So I'm looking forward to hearing their perspectives about it. But it was such a, I don't want to say a zero effort game because, look, there's not a part of me, you know, from head to toe that thinks that these guys weren't out there trying. I just don't know. Perhaps.
Well, can I? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just don't know. Perhaps if it's a situation of preparation.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Well, I don't necessarily know about the whole preparation thing, and I'll get into that in a second. So I'll just touch on the point you made about you don't know if it was a no-effort type game. Well, I think it was a no-effort type game in the second half. I really do. When Maurice Washington fumbled that ball on the kick return, and, you know, they ended up calling it back, but the camera panned over to Frost, and I read Frost's lips, and he was screaming at them, run off the field. Like, don't just walk off nonchalantly like, oh, well, we lost. I mean, it's like, I don't know if the mentality is still there, like, for some players, like it was in Bo Pelini and Mike Riley's time, where if they got down, they were like, well, we lost. Like, we don't know what else to do. In terms of the no preparation thing, I mean, I don't even, first of all, don't even get me started about the, we should have prepared for the cold, because I mean, Frost, right. It's a mentality thing. It's not, let's stick our hands in ice, to make sure we can catch the ball. So the thing that drove me nuts was, first quarter, we were able to move the ball pretty well. We moved the ball pretty well into their territory three different drives at the beginning of the game. First drive, we turned it over on downs, and then the next two drives that we got it, it was, we shot ourselves in the foot, and we got that stupid block in the back penalty. We got another penalty. I mean, and we just kept moving back. Oh, the other one was Vedro got sacked twice in a row. I mean, you can't have that stuff happen when you're trying to go win a football game. And I know there were still other drives where we could have done stuff, but when you start off the game and you're driving down into the opponent's territory and you can't kick a field goal because we don't have a kicker, and you shoot yourself in the foot on two other drives, you gotta think the offense is probably getting worn out, and they're like, man, we can't do anything. And they're probably getting down on themselves. And, you know, I seriously think it's a mentality thing. And I don't know how that gets fixed. I mean, some of these guys are Scott Frost players, some aren't. Do we need to wait for Mike Riley's players to all leave? I mean, do we need to wait two more years before this can get fixed?
I think, look, and I'll defer to our good friends at of Bangerings and Daggers, who, you know, Patrick and Nate, who've said numerous times that it takes a lot less time to turn over a basketball roster than a football roster, because yeah. You know, first of all, it's a smaller roster, and you know, if you get the right amount of talent in there, you know, they could be in and gone in, you know, a year or two, and hopefully, you know, Fred Hoiberg and company, will have the program moving in that direction where, you know, where big time recruits want to come to Lincoln, you know, got top notch facilities, things like that. And then, you know, play hard, have success, move on, you know, to the next level. In football, it's a lot more difficult because, man, there's so many challenges. First of all, there's the NFL rule of, you know, got to be out of high school for 3 years, et cetera. And I don't disagree necessarily with that rule, but that's because more out of jealousy and spite than anything, you know, like I was never good at athletics. So I think that somebody, you know, you should have some semblance of education. Anyway, that's just me being petty. But there is going to be like what we were, I think at the beginning of the year, you know, we were calling 2019 the revenge tour. I mean, we're a couple of years away from that. This team's not ready yet. You know, when you've got a young offensive line, you've got an old defensive line that, you know, think about it, you're going to be replacing your three starters on the defensive line. You know, next year you got the Davis twins and Darian Daniels, who are all seniors. You're going to be replacing one of your top, you know, defenders in Mo Berry. But so I think that they're, look, one of the biggest challenges that Frost and company had, you know, and they were applauded for it when they were coaching UCF, you know, to a win over Auburn and still recruiting for Nebraska, and they were still getting guys like an Adrian Martinez, you know, a Maurice Washington, who of course, you know, had to get here a little bit later, but got here nonetheless. They're bringing in Wandale Robinson, but Wandale Robinson would not have looked at Nebraska under Mike Riley or Bo Pelini.
No, I agree. You know, so I agree. They're talent, doing better recruiting.
The talent is improving, and with the talent improving, I think the high tide raises all ships type of thing, you know, and that's not any row the boat reference at all. But when the overall level of talent is improved, I think everybody feels that, you know, from you know, the starting quarterback to the second string long snapper, you know, everybody's going to feel that energy. I think this is a team that loves its coach. There's no doubt about that. I just think they've got to, you still got so many guys, you know, who forgot what it was like to win, but we still have as many wins this year as we had the last two seasons. And it's not like this was Thanksgiving weekend and we're done now. We've got five more games. There's still an opportunity to go bowling. Let's not completely write off the season. Look, and as aggravated as I was watching this game, I'm not writing off this team. I'm not writing off this coaching staff. Brighter days, better times are ahead.
So on the topic of wins, right? We have five more games. Three are at home. We have Indiana, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And then the two on the road are Maryland and Purdue. That means that we have to win one on the road to go bowling. And the way this team has looked on the road this year, I'm not so sure we will. I mean, I don't think we're definitely not beating Wisconsin. And I don't know if we can beat Iowa. I mean, I don't think they're severely talented. I mean, they're just a boring team. And that boring team can run the ball just like Minnesota and Wisconsin.
It's to piggyback on that, it's like they may be boring, but they've perfected it. You know, they've been doing it so long. And I'm glad you brought that up because it brings up something that I thought about earlier. I remember, you know, Scott Frost's introductory press conference when somebody in the media says,
"That
was weird to hear myself back."
What?
I heard myself talking back to me very briefly. It was weird. But, you know, one of the members of the media asked the question, like, how are you going to – I'm paraphrasing, but something like, how are you going to adapt to the Big Ten style of play? And Frost says something like, well, my hope is that they're going to have to adapt to us. I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
You're going to have to get bigger and stronger up front and have the type of offensive line that Big Ten, you know, successful Big Ten teams have. You're going to have an offensive line that's built like Wisconsin. You're going to have a defensive line that's built like Ohio State. And you're going to have to put those two together if you want to compete and win the conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think Frost realized that a little bit in his first year. Like, he said, we need to get bigger and we need to get faster. Well, that's all well and good, but I still think that he needs to grow as a coach and understand that his plays might not work all that well in the Big Ten either. You know, I'm all for tempo and getting up to the line, but maybe we should hold back on that a little bit and just try and get the basics down. The stuff that Iowa, Wisconsin, and apparently Minnesota can do really well. And then we can start building on top of that.
You're right. Simplify it. Like we mentioned, you know, perfect the boring. And after you've perfected the boring, then you can branch out and do some razzle-dazzle. I'm not making up words. I'm just choosing really poor words to get my point across. So, I don't know. Obviously, nobody's asked us our opinion, from the coaching staff. They don't care what we have to say. At least I hope they don't care because I've, never coached football and it's not, I'm no expert. I've got eyes and I see things and what I see doesn't make a whole lot of sense sometimes, we just got to keep plugging and playing, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They got to figure stuff out over this bye week. They need to do some soul searching, I think.
That's a good way of putting it. And it might be the best way to wrap this podcast up. Do a little soul searching. They don't have an identity on offense or defense, and they're going to have to figure that out because, as you mentioned, you got Wisconsin in a month and Iowa in about 6 weeks, give or take. We'll go with 6 weeks. I'm comfortable enough with that number. So you've got to figure stuff out. Indiana's not going to be a slouch because – we don't ever see Indiana. We remarked about that, a couple months back in our preseason previews. We haven't. I think this will be maybe the second or third time we've seen Indiana since we've been in the Big Ten. We see Ohio State like every year, and so that's a little ridiculous too. But Purdue's no slouch. I shouldn't say no slouch. They're not where they were last year, but they're going to be competitive. And then you never know really what you're going to get when you go to Maryland. On my wife's birthday. So all I know is that I'll be working that day, and that's sad for a lot of reasons. But Evan, man, it's late. We're all tired, and we're all dejected. So thanks for hopping on and talking with me a little bit in this coronation post-game overreaction, the Minnesota edition. We'll catch up again next time, man.
Yep, for sure. Sorry I was a little late this time.
Don't worry about it. It allowed me to get a shower, and for that, we're all happy. So that is it. That's the, as I mentioned, the aforementioned. Now I'm just sounding redundant. This has been the Coronation Overreaction Minnesota Edition. I'm Greg Mahochko. It's Evan Wiebe, and we'll see you next time here on Coronation Radio.